Please turn to the Word of God, to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, where we read in verse 25 these words, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Then turning to the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, look with me at the 12th verse, where we come now to the 5th petition of the Lord's Prayer in the 12th verse, where we read these words, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is the word of the living God. Now the Heidelberg Catechism, which is directing our thoughts as we look at its explanation of the Lord's Prayer. We've come to Lord's Day 51, and in your bulletin you may read as I recite it, what does the fifth request mean? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. Beloved in the Lord, our subject this evening is the forgiveness of sins, that fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. In John Calvin's ministry and writing on this, I came across the phrase which forms the title of our message this evening. I think it is an astounding assessment of what the Lord's Prayer says on this particular issue. Calvin stated that it pleases God to pardon our sins. It pleases God to pardon our sins. I think Calvin captured the essence of the whole gospel in that brief phrase. The grand truth that we read elsewhere when we turn to the 103rd Psalm, to those very familiar words in verse 11 and 12, we find the psalmist exalting that same truth of the forgiveness of our sins in these words that you know so well. The psalmist said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And then these words especially, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The eloquent language of the psalmist can hardly capture or encapsulate that truth of the forgiveness of sins. But that's what he is discussing, and that's our subject this evening in this examination of the petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, as we come again to study the Lord's Prayer, I want to remind you that we need to understand where this petition fits with all of the others. If we have understood all of the other petitions, that, and they have a very definite sequence, I believe, then when we come to this petition, we must have a deepened feeling of our need of forgiveness and of our sinful condition. For we began the Lord's Prayer by saying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Those opening petitions set the case before us, and if we pray them the way they are to be prayed, we cannot escape the fact that our obedience is only a new beginning when it comes to God's kingdom and obeying His will. And we become therefore acutely aware of that small new beginning of obedience and the frequent occurrence of the fact that we still are inclined to sin, inclined to rebel, inclined to disobey our Heavenly Father. We haven't reached perfection yet. That will come when we enter glory. And so this petition is placed within the Lord's Prayer not only as a reminder of our continuing sin that needs continual washing and cleansing and forgiveness, but it also follows that petition which we considered last time, which requests daily bread. And I think there's somewhat of a logical order, perhaps, to that. We need bread to live, but then after we get bread to live, the next most important thing is the forgiveness of sin. Because we need forgiveness every day. This prayer is based upon our being justified in Jesus Christ, that is, having been declared right with God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, that once and for all and forever our sins are washed away. As Isaiah said in our verse, God says, I will not remember them. That is, I won't bring them up against you anymore. But we pray for the forgiveness of sins, and the prayer of the forgiveness of sins is not to be justified, for that's already occurred if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's to be given the benefits of that justifying work of Jesus and the application of that forgiveness of sins in our daily life. So it's important, first of all, to recognize this prayer is not for atonement. The atonement or the satisfaction that Jesus made once and for all cannot be repeated. It is the very foundation upon which salvation exists and the foundation upon which we can come daily to our Heavenly Father and ask for grace and forgiveness of sins. Now, there are some people who seem to think incorrectly that we do not need to pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Even in saying that, you see the error of those who teach it. If Jesus suggested this model prayer and said, pray like this, then what he suggested is what we should be using as a model for prayer. And he includes in this model prayer, pray for the forgiveness of sins. He's not telling us that we need to pray for atonement. The objective reality of our sins being forgiven has already occurred at the cross of Calvary. My sins were washed away as a believer in Jesus Christ. I can say, glory to God, praise to his name. I have a place secured in heaven because 2,000 some years ago, Jesus died on a hill, and the Son of God, who was God's representative in my place, bore my sin. And it's on that basis that God says, I will not remember your sin against you again. It's on that basis that we read in Romans chapter 3 that the Apostle Paul says that God wiped away our sin. And in chapter 3, and as you get towards verse 25, he set forth him, that is Jesus, as a propitiation for our sins. He's the satisfaction for our sins, that he might be the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Our sins are pardoned, and God is content with the blood of Jesus for our sins. But what we are talking about in this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is different than the atonement. It is the application of that atoning blood in the forgiveness of the sins in the heart of the believer when he realizes that he again has committed sin and he needs to have that sin within his own heart covered, forgiven. It's a prayer, it's a plea for that atoning blood that once was shed and its efficacy, its work, to be sovereignly applied that we might be washed new. It's very much like that story which Jesus told to the Apostle Peter in the upper room. You remember the foot washing that occurred, and the Apostle Peter said, no, you don't need to wash my feet, Lord. He had it all wrong, and he was mistaken. The Lord says, if I don't wash you, you don't have part with me. But Jesus mentioned in that upper room discourse, it's not that you need a complete bath, but you need your feet to be washed. And there's sort of a parable there of the sin in the life of the Christian. We were completely washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ when the atoning work of Christ was applied to our hearts and we're justified before God. We can't be justified again. If you're justified, you're justified. And that's forever. God himself will not change that decree of justification. But like someone who in Palestine would, like Peter, walk on a dusty road after having had a complete bath, what's he got on his feet? Dust and dirt. And what do his feet need? Washing. And there's a symbolism there, there's a picture there of we still sin. We walk in disobedience. We get our feet dusty and dirty with sins. We're short-tempered. We're hard-hearted. We are less than obedient. We do things that are displeasing to God, as the old prayer says, in thought, word, and deed. What have we done? We have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we don't have to come back and get saved all over again. You're saved, you're saved. But you do need to come back and get your feet washed. And that's what this prayer is about. Apply again that cleansing, efficacious blood to my heart for the sin that I've committed. Forgive us this day our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Now, as we look at this even further, we see that it raises some questions. And the first question that this petition raises is, what is sin? That's a pretty basic question. Our Heidelberg Catechism, I think, gives good answers in most of its answers. And here's one where it gives a great answer. Sin is our transgression and that depravity which always cleaves to us. You kind of are almost drawn back to my illustration of walking and getting your feet dirty. You know, if you're walking down the dusty lane, I used to, before my grandfather's lane down at the farm was covered over by concrete by the person that bought the place after him. It was a lane, and when you'd go down the lane and walk the lane to the mailbox, it was a third of a mile. And when you'd walk back, if you had feet that were barefoot, your feet were dirty. If your sneakers were on, those sneakers had to be clumped together because they got dirty, because that dust, that dirt, that sand, it just clings to you. And that's what this is talking about. Our sin, our transgressions, it clings to us. And sin is something that's serious. It's something that we have to deal with. And it's something that Paul tells us in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is something that when we sin, it grieves God. God is grieved when we sin. And we need to plead for that cleansing, that the application of the blood of Jesus might remove that sin from us, our actual sins and the sins of our sinful nature from which we have not yet been completely delivered. There's a second question that is raised as we look at the subject of the forgiveness of sins, and it has to do with the word forgiveness. What is that word? What does it mean? Catechism, again, I think gives a good answer. It says there that we pray that our Father in heaven would not impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. Not impute it to us. And the word impute is, of course, the biblical word that means charge to your account. May God not charge my account with sin. Impute it to me. Here, for the sake of Christ, we have the ground to ask that God will not hold our debts, our sins, against us. And the forgiveness of sins means that every time we sin, that is, we miss the mark and fall short of the glory of God, we're asking God, don't charge that to my account, because the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ has covered my sins once and for all. I'm glad that that's the case, because sin, and in particular the word that's used here, does mean missing the mark. What is that mark that we're missing? Well, the ultimate goal is that we should live our lives all to the glory of God. And we're told in Scripture we all fall short of the glory of God. We have indeed missed the goal. We don't operate from a heart that completely loves the Lord. We do not obey perfectly that holy standard of the law of God. If that were held against us, it would show and it would demonstrate that we have failed to hit the mark. We fall short of the mark. We fall short of the goal that God has for us, which is perfection. And we do not love God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. While we may aim at the mark, we fall short of it. We deliberately aim at something else. By our nature, we do not aim at God's glory. We aim at our own glory, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what it means when it says we fall short of the glory of God, and that's what we're asking for in forgiveness. We've missed the goal, the mark that God has for us. Now, in this petition, we ask God to forgive us our debts. What does that mean? Well, so a debt we pretty well understand. I would imagine most of us have some form of debt of one kind or another. If you have a home, you have a debt and mortgage to pay. If you bought a car, I don't see anybody that bought a car recently, but you're going to have a huge mortgage to pay if you buy a new car these days, aren't you? We owe something to someone. We understand a debt. What do we owe God? That's easy. Everything. We owe him a debt of gratitude, do we not? I owe Jesus everything. Because if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't have eternal life. I wouldn't have salvation. I wouldn't have the forgiveness of sins. We owe him a debt of trust. Every day we are called to depend upon him and to trust in him. And he calls us to that radical dependence, that radical trust that rests in him alone for all things. We did talk about that in the previous discussion when we discussed the petition that precedes, "Give us this day our daily bread." It all comes from God. And I owe him that debt of gratitude for all things. And to ask God to forgive the debt which we cannot pay and cannot fulfill is to ask him to dismiss it. And to forgive is to dismiss the debt. To ask God never bring it up again in his heart and in his mind. And as he says in Isaiah 43 about the sins of his people, when he says that they're forgiven, he gives graphic language. Did you get it? He says they're blotted out. Blotted out. Have you ever seen the old blotters? Some of you remember what it was like in school when you had a blotter and maybe the ink spilled on the blotter. Man, you know, throw it away, get something new, because when the ink went on that paper, there was no way you were going to recover what the ink covered. It blotted out everything that it covered. That makes sense, doesn't it? We probably experienced that to some degree. That's what God does with your sin. He says, "I'm blotting them out." What does he do? How does he do that? With what does he use to blot out our sins? He uses the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus blots out our sin, and it covers our sin. And if we ask him that he will not impute our sin to us, then we can appear before the judgment of God as if we had always and only been obedient children that never once transgressed the holy law of God, because blotting out our sin, which we're so very familiar with, is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is all that God the Father sees. And he says, "Your sins have been blotted out, and I will never remember them again." That is, bring them up to mind and hold them against you. We know that we have sinned, and we know that we have angered God. But in asking him to dismiss our debt, we're asking him to dismiss our sins for the sake of the shed blood of Jesus and never be angry with us again. You know, if you didn't believe that you were pardoned by what Christ Jesus did on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, you wouldn't have the nerve to come to God and say, "Blot out my sin. Forgive me." You couldn't confess it. because you would not have standing before God. But you come to Jesus by faith. You trust in him. And because his blood has covered your sins, you're pardoned, you have the privilege of coming to God and say, blot it out, remove the debt, cancel it, and set me free. And that's why we have that wonderful promise of 1 John 1:9, which we hear so often as the word of the assurance of the pardon that we have in Christ. If we confess, that's what we're doing here in this prayer, our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's because that coming to the Lord and asking for cleansing is based on the finished work of Christ. And God is just and God is righteous. He can forgive us. He can blot it out. He will blot it out because his righteousness and his justice have been satisfied by the Christ who died on the cross. It's truly a prayer for his love and his grace, not to deal with us as sinners, but as righteous in his sight. And he does so for the sake of Jesus. He receives us, though we have debts to be forgiven and sins that must be removed. Notice that it's forgive us our debts. That would be, as the English teacher would say, plural. More than one. We don't want to skip over our sins and just give a blanket, forgive our sins and thank you, Lord, and I'm on my way. I think it teaches us here that we need to say about our sins what God says about our sins. So it's a sin of jealousy, and we need to confess that jealousy. It's a sin of envy, then we need to confess that sin of envy. Whatever that sin may be, because sins and debts are many, and we sin daily in thought, word, and in deed. We are taught in the word that we have secret sins, sin in our whole being. Sometimes, like the psalmist, we don't know the depths of our sins. The psalmist said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We may hide, cover our sins, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our lusts, and secret sins, but they are known to God. Sin, like a fountain, will spew forth its waters, poisonous as they are, in thought, word, and deed. We sin when we fail to confess God. We sin when we boast, lie, slander, and backbite, and blacken the name of another. These are sins, and there are more. There are more sins that we commit than the hairs of our head. They are the sin. They are the debt which we ask God to cancel and to forgive daily. See, sin is not just an abstract notion. It's very concrete. It's very specific. We pray for the forgiveness of sins, and we commit and we ask God to deal not with generalities, but with the very sins that we want him to cancel and to forgive. And so when we pray, forgive us our sins, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we must name those sins and the depravity and the corruption and the guilt of our heart before a holy and righteous God. That leads me to my last point, which is this. This is a prayer for the assurance of forgiveness in the deepest part of our hearts. Maybe you haven't looked at it in that way, but when we pray, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us, we're really asking God that he will fill us with his grace, and that in the deepest depths of our heart we may know the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. But if sin is not dislodged from our heart and remains there unconfessed, then there is no way that we're going to know that assurance that God has forgiven us, that he's dismissed our sin, that he's canceled our debts, that he's clothed us with righteousness until we come to him and ask him to deliver us and wash us anew. So pray for that deliverance from the guilt of sin daily. Ask for that unspeakable blessed assurance and peace with God in your heart through the forgiveness of sins. Pray for the mystery of God's redemption in Jesus Christ, which is the ground of forgiveness to be applied to your heart over and over again. When we do that, we pray and we believe that forgiveness is an act of the mercy of God alone. We believe that we come to a God who has justified us on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus and freely imputes his grace to us by sovereign grace. We're righteous before him through the atonement, and on the basis of that atonement, we can come and claim the forgiveness of sins. Whoever believes, his sins will be blotted out and he will be reconciled with God. And this is all of pure and sovereign grace. Grace that has worked in our sinful hearts to bring us, first of all, to repentance and belief in Jesus. Grace that brings us to daily repentance. Grace through which God proclaims his love to us that will not let us go, that draws us to himself, that calls us from darkness into the light of his gospel. It's a prayer that's uttered from the heart of faith. It's a prayer of faith that believes the promise of God. So without grace, you see, you can't pray this prayer. But to those who do pray in faith, the promise of God is that you will surely receive an answer. Your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus. Why? Because it pleases God. It pleases God to pardon our sins. Amen.